Amen. Good morning. Let me start with some announcements that I have with me today. First, we have a sister that is placing membership, and she'll belong to the Rouse family group, and her name is Elizeva Hercules. Please, let's welcome her if she's here. Oh, there she is. I also want to recognize someone that served this congregation, and that is Stephen and Roxanne Little. They're here to do a wedding as well. Let's please acknowledge them. I just want to thank everyone that is involved in just what God is doing in the kingdom right now. I mean, to see the children come out here is the step forward to trying to help build a multi-generational congregation. To see William stand here and sing is a step in the just building this multi-generation congregation. I really think that we need to take time sometimes, because we can come to church and leave as a custom and never take time to see what God is trying to do in our lives and within us and with us. Does that make sense? And so, we've been talking about transformation a lot this year. And when we talk about transformation, we've come to a point where we've talked about find your faith. What does that mean, and how does that connect to transformation? You see, when you have faith, it changes you. You cannot claim to have faith and stay the same. That's just not possible. But if you remember last week's class and the week before, we talked about how it's possible to turn your faith into a formula. And yet transformation is ongoing, continuous, and ongoing until you get to heaven. So the idea that you can come to a point of settling is really not of God. Is what human beings like to do. Find your faith. Matthew 9:29, the Message version, says this. He touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. What you believe is what you become. There are things in your heart, in your mind, the way you think, the way you see God, is really going to reflect in your life whether you like it or not. The conflict disciples and men of God carry a lot is that they see the Bible to say one thing, but agree with that mentally, but never come to a place of conviction in their hearts. What that then happens is that we have a Christian life that doesn't come to the full, or we don't experience God to the full. With that, we begin to struggle. We struggle with who we are. We struggle with who God is. And we have these tendencies of sometimes thinking God is real and sometimes says something's wrong with me or something's wrong with God. That needs to be resolved by hearing God's word and then beginning to have a faith. Faith is not a desire as we sometimes make it. I have this desire. That's my faith. That's a desire. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's a force. It transforms. That in Hebrews it talks about that we believe that God made the world from nothing. Can you imagine that? That God made the world from nothing. In other words, He has the capacity to change anything. From nothing. Not like you and I. You need water. You need what? You don't need. He doesn't need that. He can change it from nothing. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Faith holds the vision. When this year began, you had some ideas, some vision, some desires. Those things were right there with you, but let's talk about that today. Exodus 6:7-9. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with I saw with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. You know the story? Pharaoh had been having an easy life with the Israelites, enslaving them. The story goes as far back as the time when Moses was born. Then he grew up, committed a crime, a felony, and ran away. Was away for 40 years, and God still got him to bring him back. Fast forward, he brings him back, and he tells Moses that I'm going to walk with you to reach out to Pharaoh. Now, you have to understand, Pharaoh was a god, small g. That's the way he viewed himself. So for Moses to come and tell him about letting people go, he did not see Moses like that. So it took 10 plagues to move Pharaoh from seeing Moses just as a human being to think this is a servant of God, a bigger God than me. And while that was going on, the Israelites could not believe what Moses was saying because they were so discouraged. They were so much in bondage that they had come to believe that that was their life. What is your story this morning? Where have you been for 100 years that you've been stuck in bondage and you're so discouraged that you don't think that God can change your life? It was not for lack of God that they didn't listen to Moses. It was because they've been there for too long. Is it your marriage that has been stuck for a long time? These people were there for centuries. So talk about being trapped because the father tells you this and the mother tells you this and going on and on. That had been going on, and then someone comes and says, I can let you free. They couldn't listen to him. They were discouraged because of the cruelty of just Pharaoh. What about you? What is your story? You see, what happens when you've been in a place for long? It can be a marriage. It can be just your life as a person. It can be your life, your family, your situation, your work life. You can be so much in bondage for a long time that when God speaks through scripture, through brothers, through sisters, through friends, through circumstances, you don't hear him. Why? Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement. That is what happens. And cruel bondage. And discouragement basically is a situation where you get to a point where your life speaks so loudly to you that you do not see God in any way or form or fashion. You're so engulfed, overwhelmed to the point of you don't see God changing your life, God changing your children, God changing your job, God changing anything. And so you come to this place of just discouragement. In other words, even though you hear God, it goes through here, it lives here, it never touches your heart. You're discouraged. You never see the power of what God can do, transform, change you, bring about a new life. When that happens, we're discouraged. And we can't hear God. All the story that is going on is so loud that we cannot open our hearts to God speaking. So this morning I ask you to open up your heart to hear God speak to you. There's nothing that God cannot fix. But we'll look at that in many angles. We tend to think of it of God will just take it away. Not necessarily. That's the other side of the question, the equation. Because the way we think as human beings, the solution is take it away. I think that for those 10 plagues, God was also building the faith of the Israelites to see that God was at work, right? But 10 plagues may be a long time. You can get discouraged, disillusioned. Why should I wait? 10 plagues? Who cares? Until the first one happened. And then the king, Pharaoh, saw that this was going to change. Then he let them go. Then they got to the Red Sea. And what happened? They saw the Egyptians coming. And they got discouraged again. Why? Because they stopped listening to God.
Sometimes we are so enamored to the solution, to the relief of pain, that we do not pay attention to a connection with God. Have you ever had a toothache? A serious toothache. And you call in the dentist and they're saying they can only get you in 2 weeks' time. And you can do Tylenol and you can do all the painkillers you know, and you know it's not good for your tummy. And you're doing it, and finally, you can't wait to get in there. But as soon as they get the tooth out, you go back to eating your sweets and all the stuff that destroys your teeth. So you didn't get the lesson. You struggle for 2 weeks to get in. You go back and take down the habits that destroyed your teeth in the first place. So then God is become an antidote we use, something to take away our pain, not really a connection, not a place of growth. And because we live in that cycle of doing that and going up and down, we never connect to God to a point where we can realize that God is a transformational force in our lives, not something you use when you need pain to ease pain. It's a transformational force. That's why they couldn't heal God, because they were using him just for, let's see if this will change for a while. Hold the vision. Trust the process. That was a challenge they had. It'll be a process. Transformation is a process. That process is to know God, to connect with God, to grow, to begin to change inside out, to see God as he speaks to you, to your personal issues, not just to the congregation at large, to your personal issue. What is it that holds you down? What is it that holds you down? Trust the process. That's the issue. We want it quick. First, we will not trust the process. Secondly, faith develops maturity. Let's talk about this. The idea that you're 100 years and plus, and I know nobody's 100 years in this place, is the societal way of measuring maturity. The spiritual way is different. And that counts, don't get me wrong, that counts. But let's talk about the spiritual side of it. Consider it your joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. How about that? Perseverance, who likes that word? Let's persevere. Why? Why should we persevere? Everybody else is not persevering. What are you talking about? This is America. Let's change it. Let's change stuff right now. See how we think? It talks about perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. I am not sure that you can always be happy because you're going through a tough time, but you can step back and say, how else would I look at this from a godly point of view? I think you can do that. You may not be glee and happy and smiling, but you can turn back and say, how else would I look at this from a godly point of view? And how would I begin to say this differently? Many of us spend weeks, months, sad, depressed, angry with God because we don't take the time to step back and say, how else would I see this different? So you're stuck in a very humanistic point of view. Take the pain away. This needs not to be happening to me. Why me? That is the point we stay. Instead of, how else would God be walking in this to show transformation in my heart? That is the question we must begin to ask ourselves. How do we view life? There's a lot of stuff coming your way. That I can guarantee. I don't know what type, but it's coming. What I can ask you, though, is to prepare yourself and step back and say, how can I see this from what God is trying to do in my life? And that's what he talks about. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. There are many kinds. For an adult, if you don't have a phone, that may not be a trial. For a teen, that's a trial if you don't have a phone. What's going on? If Wi-Fi goes off for a teen, now that's a trial right there. We have different trials. So let's not belittle each other, but let's understand this, that we all have different trials. But here's the point. Many trials. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Question. Have you been passing your taste? You know, God is always testing you. The guy that annoyed you in traffic, that was a taste. Did you pass that? This morning, did you pass the test with your wife, with your husband? How'd that go? Did you pass that? How was it for you this morning as you traveled, did different things? Did you pass your taste? What was going on? You see, we look at life from a very humanistic point of view. We don't see that God is at work. And because we don't see that God is at work, we get very offended. Caught up in our own little world. And we don't see the bigger picture of God. Including the people that hurt you. God is at work. Those people, God, they may not know they're hurting you, but God is at work in their life and in your life. If you saw it that way, it's easier to forgive that person and you'll be growing more and they might come to a point of understanding. I spoke to a brother this week and we spoke about our days in the ministry together. And I said, we went through a lot of stuff, but now in hindsight, I know that God was working on me. And I hope he worked on you. And I just laughed at that and kept going. But we all want to fix the guy next door, never fixing the guy in the mirror. It's very easy to sit around and tell everybody else how to change. What about me? What about you? How are we doing that? How are we taking this test from God? Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Immaturity gets you to a place of not courage, confidence, and you whine a lot. It's not a pleasant place to be. Transformation is not happening. Stagnation is happening. So it's always good for you to grow and let whatever you're going through grow you. The only place you cannot grow is to not be tested. And not only even the devil will test you at some point. So my point here is this. Sometimes God doesn't change your situation because he is trying to change your heart. Maybe that's the only reason why we're all stuck. The heart has not changed, so the situation will stay the same. And we hope the problem goes away. It's not going away until you make the change. In fact, sometimes it doesn't go away. The only difference is that because you change, you see differently and you overcome it. The situation stayed the same. The person changed. How about that? We're always caught in this catch 22, or place where we want to hold and wait. God change this, just then I'll do this. So we begin the bargain process with God. It doesn't work like that. God wants our hearts to change. Then the situation just becomes very easy to deal with. Look at that. Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know. How about that? I mean, think about that. There's stuff you want to go away right now in your life. It might not go away until you've learned from God. I'm not a bearer of bad news this morning. I bring revelation and understanding. I hope that that is what I'm bringing to you. That you understand the purpose of what you're going through is not necessary to put you down, is to figure out God, grow from what you're going through. If you talk to people that are amazing, you may think it just happened overnight, and they tell you their story and where they've been. It's amazing. It's amazing what they've overcome. And if you talk to people that don't know a lot of much and judge every little thing and criticize every little thing, you're like, well, where have you been? Not many places. When I say, where have you been in life? What have you been through? Not the distances you've covered. It's what have you been through in life? And how has that transformed you? This is a calling that God will walk with us again and again. So I say this to you because if you're hoping that I'll pray, God, just take it away, you may be thinking, God, what can I learn to be different, to grow? Because it is in your life, it's such a time so that God may bring out the best of you. Finally, but not least, faith changes us. I am convinced that there's no way you can claim to have faith and remain the same. Something is not right with that statement. A people of faith begin to change. They're different. They think different. They see things differently. Faith, as we know, is in Romans, comes from hearing the word of God. But that's one step. If you're the word of God, but it will not touch you, then it has, over time, it has an effect of hardening your heart. Your heart gets hard because you're not letting it transform you. In other words, you're doing an inoculation aspect of it. You're just getting the word, but never letting that heal you or transform you. So we have to practice the Bible. We have not just to hear it and understand it, but practice the Bible Monday to Monday. So we've got to be a people that love the word of God. Amen, church? I know we're busy. I know we're waking up early and running. But it does not hurt to take 30, whatever minutes, to pray, to read, to hear from God. It's an amazing place to be. Your faith begins to develop. To be in touch with what's going on in your heart. Don't be quick to blame outside. Be in touch with what's going on in your heart and begin to make changes there. It's easy to blame the outside world. It's very easy. It's natural. Let's put it that way. It takes some thoughtfulness to step back and say, hold on, why am I so angry today? Sometimes you're angry and not sure why you're angry. Your short answers, you're shouting, and you're, why are you shouting? I don't know why I'm shouting, but I think it's you. Take time and figure out what in your heart needs to submit to the Lord so that that may change and transformation may take place. So James talks about faith here a little bit. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? What good is it for us to claim to be Christians but don't practice that? I mean, we're setting up family groups. We got to go to those family groups, church. Not out of obligation. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible teaches that they were committed, they were devoted to the word of God. The apostles' teachings, in other words, to prayer. I hope we are committed to prayer. That they were devoted to fellowship. I hope you are devoted to fellowship. And they ate together in each other's homes with glad, sincere hearts. When was the last time you ate in anyone's home with a glad, sincere heart? That's the question. When is the last time you did that? Now let's flip the question. When is the last time you had people come and eat in your home with a glad, sincere heart? I don't understand this. Why do we so much want to be alone in a hurry to go and sit down and watch TV? Is that all you want to do? In a hurry to go and sit home? And sometimes you just, I'm tired. You're tired because you never take time to connect with God and with people. That is what rejuvenates you. Take time to sit and talk and have a good time. Talk about life. When it's all said and done, what will your life count for? Running to work and coming back home and watching TV? No relationships? What happens when you are 100 years old? You have no friends? It'll be a lonely place to be. Our faith must show action. Acts 2 church was that kind of a church. People were devoted. What about one another? Just sitting out and taking coffee for 40 minutes, 30 minutes. That will not kill your life. The illusion that the more busy you are, the more effective you are, is a lie from the devil. I think we need to be more, to get the priority right. God first, people second. The reason why we struggle is because we're not connected to the body of Christ and we're not connected to God as well. And we struggle a lot because we don't get help, we don't talk about things, and before we know it, we're just feeling overwhelmed. we ain't talking. We got to connect to these things that God is trying to build. Amen? So please, please, I urge you, get in the Word and get connection with God. So have some deeds that show that. Does that make sense? In the same way, faith by itself, it's not accompanied by action, is dead. You cannot keep thinking and saying, I have faith. What is the action behind your faith? You say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and read my Bible. You better set that clock up today. Have some faith to that. You say, I'm going to pray. You're going to say, what time? You're going to pray. You say, I need to spend some time this week. With who? Set up the time, which place, where? And show up and have a good time. Amen? The problem we have today is we use the phone for the bad reasons. We use the phone to tell people, I can't make it. I wish we can just go back to the 70s where there was no phone and you made the word and your word was as good as your what? Your bond. Your name. You had to show up. But now with the phone, just text him. Say, I can't show up. Send him a text. Oh, you didn't see the text? I sent it to you. What time? 5 minutes to. Come on, let's get real. You didn't want to come about it. You're sending it 5 minutes to. Here's another truth. We don't like connections with people because we're afraid that if people know us too much, if we're known for who we really are, we may not be liked. That is your own insecurity. God loves you anyway. You know, God knows you so well. Church, do you know that? Do you really know that? So quit acting. Quit acting and be real. Get on with God. I am who I am. I don't even 5'6", 5'4". I'm never going beyond that. Not much hair. Never going. That's me. I see Zach. He has so much hair. Like, how did that guy get all that hair? His dad has no hair. We've got to quit playing games. You only connect with God when you come to a place of God loves me. Not the version of me. God loves you. Not your version of you. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. It's not possible to have a faith that does not curry together with action. If we believe that people need to know God, I believe that we have to learn to share our faith as we go along as well. That, you know, Jesus was walking along the sea and then he reached out to someone and said, come follow me, right? That Paul was going to pray and found Lydia and they reached out to her. That John and Peter were going to the synagogue and a gold of money we don't have, but what we have we give you. That was a lifestyle. That their faith, how they talked to people about God, was not a campaign, was a conviction of what God was doing in their life. We have to be that kind of a people, practicing our faith. Not because we campaign, but because we know who God is. Faith in God changes everything. It changes your perspective. It changes your attitude. It changes how you see God. Church, this morning, I would have loved to talk about this the whole day. But God knows that we need this time, and this is enough. I pray that we can take a transformational look. Next week, we'll have a great time as the singles run the service. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve, for that lesson on faith. A couple announcements. We have a family group leaders meeting happening at 2 o'clock over in the band room. So go get some lunch and come back for that. We also have an announcement about the teen retreat happening this weekend coming up. What? Registration has to be done by Tuesday. So anybody that's not registered and wants to go to that, they get you registered. You can go to campswap.com. Cost is $90, so let's make that happen. We got one more announcement, but I'm going to close out with a prayer real quick. Dear Father God, thank you so much for the way that you love us. You take care of us, God. You don't treat us as our sins deserve, God. Thank you so much for that, God, the way that You constantly are there to lift us up when we've fallen, God. Thank you for the fact that you continue to build our faith. Without you, God, we would be nothing, God. Thank you so much for that, God. And thank you for the fellowship, God, of believers, that we don't have to walk this walk alone, God. I pray that you be with the fellowship, God, and I pray that you be with us this week. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Joe has one announcement about hope. Oh.